This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kick-off, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It's a goal! What a goal! It's absolutely world-class from Marcus Tudge!
Johnson puts it in the air. Aidan Flynn wins the goal!
It's
the
goal! It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there?
Yes! Yes!
Oh, my God!
The Wednesday Week!
Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of The Wednesday Week, where we will be discussing the upcoming International Women's Day, the issues currently being faced by our female football fans, and what we can be doing to combat sexism and discrimination within our footballing communities. I'm Charlie, your host for today, and I'm joined by the wonderful Wednesday Weeker herself, Holly, and the fantastic Emma and Beth from the Sheffield Wednesday Women's Supporters Group. How's everybody doing this fine evening? Holly, how are you doing with your recent footballing mishap-related injury?
I'm okay. Limited damage done. I currently have concussion, but you won't be able to tell.
Brilliant. Holly messaged just before this one out, been like, I'm just going to eat like 7 bags of Haribos and just wing it through. I was like, that sounds fine. That's medically fine.
I think that's like, what they recommend.
That's exactly what they would say. Emma, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, good. Been busy recently. We've got lots of exciting things coming up for International Women's Day. But yes, all good.
Exciting. Beth, how's it going? I'm enjoying the merch behind you. I'm enjoying the Wednesday wall.
We've got the Wednesday wall and, Wednesday wall that way. And my little West Isbury scarf collection as well. So we've got the team I have to support and the team I choose to support. Good, yeah. As Emma said, we've been busy, but feels really good to be productive and just really excited to get things going now.
Amazing. So to kick things off, it'd be great for you guys to, for our listeners, for everyone to just get a bit of an idea about what the Women's Supporters Group does and you know, and what your guys' aims are for this group. Emma, I'll come to you first. So how did the Women's Supporters Group come to be?
So it initially started with myself and my friend Lauren, who people might know off football Twitter. And I don't know, we've just been a bit frustrated for a while. We've both had our fair share of kind of online abuse. And then there was one game last season, I think it was the Bolton game, which was actually like the dedicated Her Game 2 women in football fixture. Charlie, you were there. Bethany, you had it as well. I don't know if you did, Holly, but walking back on the tram, we just had so much nonsense aimed at us. And that was the moment we were just like, do you know what? We need something that's not just an online campaign as good as they are. We need a community of people to feel like they can talk nonsense about football, you know, come together, go to matches, because I wouldn't have gone alone at that point. So yeah, we just thought let's get something started, and without planning much at all, we launched the group, and luckily it's kind of gone fairly well. We're up to 330-odd members now, which is great.
Wow.
Quite a few of them are active on our lovely little WhatsApp chat. So, yeah, and then we roped Bethany in as well, who offered to take minutes at our first meeting. So we were like, right, poach you. You're coming on board. And, yeah, it was just kind of taken off from there, really.
Amazing, amazing. So, Beth, will you tell us a little bit more about your role then? It sounds like you were you impressed with your admin and then it's just skyrocketed from there.
Yeah, just general admin enjoyer, task acceptor. Mainly, the thing that is my little thing is always the press and the media, little jobs. I really enjoy that side. So, on that respect, thank you for having us. But
absolutely.
Yeah, a bit of everything, but mainly PR, if you will.
Love that, love that. So what would you guys say is at the moment sort of the biggest issues kind of facing female fans within football? Like, aside from some of the things you've already mentioned, obviously, like things like the atmosphere at games and people feeling uncomfortable kind of going on their own perhaps to games as a female fan, but why do you think that is, Emma? What do you think perhaps is one of the main issues that kind of makes people feel uncomfortable in those environments?
I was thinking about this before and I don't know if I could narrow it down to just one thing as much as you want me to.
No, that's fine. It's acceptable. I'll allow it.
Obviously, traditionally, there's been more men going to football than women. And I think we're still in that process of trying to like normalise the idea that it is a game for everyone. I know there's a big difference now between when I started going to watch Wednesday. There's more families, there's more women. It is a kind of more inclusive feeling space, but I don't think we've gone all the way there yet, and there are steps that are being taken and that's great, but I don't think we're there. And you see that in stuff like online, the nonsense, I keep using that word, so don't want to swear, that we get just for having an opinion. Might be a bad opinion, but we don't deserve, you know, threats for it. I think, I don't know, you see all, again, do we want to name individuals? Mr. Barton trying to kind of normalize just discrimination. I don't know what else to call it. And I think because of all that, women are held to kind of a, not a higher standard necessarily, but like, I think we have like a higher threshold of what we can kind of get away with. I think people are much more likely to pick up if you've got, you know, if you're wrong. If I said something incorrectly, we'd get pounced on for that. And I think there's a double standard there. And I don't think men are treated in the same way. And, you know, we're all about trying to address that imbalance, I think.
That's just I've always said, so nobody talks as much crap as my dad at football. No one ever said anything to him. So I just want to be able to talk as much crap. I've never claimed to say anything that is valid, to be fair, but I just want to say it and not be told that it's because I'm a girl that I don't know. It's the way I've been raised.
Absolutely. No, you raise a really good point. I mean, myself and Holly on the Wednesday week, we'll often, I mean, we laugh about it, but we'll see comments sometimes on the YouTube, and it does really need to be stated that the vast majority of comments, the fans of this podcast are absolutely fantastic and they are always very supportive. And there's, you know, a really good vibe generated from like when we open like complicated discussions, but then there's always one so-rag that has to come along and spoil it. But it usually does relate to kind of like, oh, women be like, women fans are always be like, and you're like, yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? It's like, you know, a guy has an opinion people find controversial, he's the idiot, but when we say it, it's women fans get things wrong, women fans are too emotional. And you know, we've been emotional at times, Holly. We've been wrong and talked shit. But at the end of the day, we've talked shit because of who we are, not because we're women. And it's certainly not something that is unique to our gender. So I totally, totally agree with that. Beth, would you say that the experiences people have at games kind of are sort of better or worse at the things you see online? You know, that Twitter can be a bit of a cesspool and other social medias are available, X as I should be calling it, but would you say that, you know, the kind of the real life experience kind of matches up to some of the negativity you see online?
I'd say they're probably on a level, but they manifest in different ways, I guess. Like, I think that the disadvantages that women face at matches are much more subtle, but there are possibly more of them, I think. I think just the online abuse is very full on. It's very in your face. It's very vulgar. It's kind of black and white hate speech. But then when you're thinking about things like lack of women's facilities or the kind of, I guess, microaggressions that women face at games, they're not as in your face. But when you kind of dissect it, you kind of can tell that women have been left out of the decision making in football for a long time. And once you start looking for them, I think they'll kind of jump out, or they have to me at least.
Yeah, I think people are braver behind a keyboard, aren't they? And we mentioned the he who must not be named, Mr. JB. But you do notice that some of that same rhetoric that you see kind of people like that posting out then kind of gets parroted. And I think there's probably a generational thing as well. I mean, in general, you might get younger fans on social media who are, you know, impressionable and seeing these things. But then equally, at games, you're also likely to see people that have been coming for forever. And this is just the way things are. People can be quite set in their ways. And even if people aren't intending to be hateful or discriminatory, that the game has not been shaped around inclusion for so many years. And we are fighting against a big battle there, definitely. So with International Women's Day coming up on the 8th of March, what does the supporters group have planned for this? I'll come to you, Emma.
A lot, a whole lot. And we've been very, very busy.
What don't we have planned?
What don't they have going on?
So quick plug, we've already started our work. We've launched a survey that's been going around on our socials. That is this kind of the last week that people can kind of fill it in. And we aim to produce a report based on that during International Women's Week, I guess is what we're calling it, depending on how fast I can pull that together. But yeah, we've had over 300 responses. It's been absolutely eye-opening in terms of people's experiences at games, online, and what people think that clubs and wider football can do to kind of help the situation. So that's the kind of the first thing.
And it's not just women to fill that out either. Anybody can fill
it out. Yeah, good point. It's open to everyone, any club. You know, we can filter by club and by gender and things like that. So absolutely everyone can fill that in and help us gain lots of delicious data.
Sensational. That's brilliant. So, Beth, what have you guys got coming up for International Women's Day that fans of the podcast and you guys can get involved in?
We've pretty much got a whole week of fun. We're starting on Sunday, so we are having a little members meet up and day out to go and see Wednesday Ladies, the Jubilee. We're partnered with them, so really we've been wanting to make this happen for ages. They've got a big top of the table clash for Kiverton Park, so really excited to bring some members down there and kind of kick off this keeping score campaign we've got. It's our little motto for the week, which is keeping score. So it's a safe community of respect and empowerment.
Love that. That's brilliant.
So I'm waiting for Emma to nod at me that I got the acronym right. But and then we've got an interview coming out every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with women at Wednesdays. We're kind of trying to highlight the role that women play at Wednesday in different ways. We've been in touch with fans. Our lovely founder, Lauren, did an interview as well. We've been speaking to players, coaching staff, families of players to kind of highlight what Wednesday means to different people who are kind of connected to the club. And I think our final big two things are officially we'll be partnering with Her Game 2 and also putting together a away day network, because we kind of saw the oversight that me, Emma and Lauren are kind of home fans, but we really want to support the ladies at away games as well. So we've butted some heads together. We'll be launching that this week too.
That's fantastic. Amazing. So it sounds like the club's been really receptive to the things that you guys have got going on. Is that kind of how you've found it in general?
Yeah, they've been great, actually. Big shout out to Tracy, who's the Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Officer at Wednesday. She's almost like single-handedly. Actually, no, that's not true. Cameron Calvert, shout out, who does lots of our graphics for us. They've been great. We've put together kind of a series of things on the actual day itself. So because Leeds got moved, it's now on International Women's Day. So we've got flags, banners, players will be in warm-up t-shirts with our logo and our little slogan on the back, which is pretty
love
cool.
Branding.
And we'll be doing a charity bucket collection as well. We're just trying to make as much of that day as possible and just hopefully celebrate all the women at Wednesday.
That's brilliant.
I'm really excited for the away day network. A few of us from the group chat met up at Preston just after Christmas, and we didn't know each other. We only met in the group chat. If you're not in the group chat, I would recommend it. Although it might take you a full day. If you miss an hour, it'll take you a day to catch up. It's absolutely ridiculous. But transfer deadline day was the best thing ever. And then through the group chat, a few of us went to Preston together. I think one of the people hadn't even been to an away game for quite a while. So it's quite nice if you don't have anyone to go with and you just wouldn't do that. You can just put in the group. And I suppose that also works for home games as well. I think you guys have got me down as like an away day network gal, but I think the others are more responsible than me. I will be there.
We need a vibes girl as well. So.
Yeah. I'm all about the vibes.
I love that. That's brilliant. So Holly, as a women's supporters group woman, as it were, a women's supporters group, women's supporter in the group, which is what you are. And you're also now their dedicated vibes girl and probably should have a badge. I'm just saying, just throwing that out there as an idea, maybe a hat. In terms of, because obviously, you know, you are a home and away supporter. How has the women's group like supported you and how has it kind of affected the way you kind of see going to matches, particularly, you know, away matches that can be a really different environment and a little bit more hit and miss? How's that kind of been for you?
Yeah, so obviously my away day experiences have changed recently. I've benefited from the fact that for the last 20 years of away games, I've had a 6-foot-odd big bloke to go with. So if anyone don't really want me there, they're not really going to say. As unintimidating as he was. But no one's going to say anything. And I've only sort of realised just recently when going on my own that, yeah, it's a bit of a different vibe. Even just on the train, it's a different vibe. I've also started having to stay over because I don't really fancy like a late train on my own sort of thing. So there's a few different sort of travel-y issues that like I've not thought about before. Lucky me. But like I say, a few of us went to Preston. We met on the train and we went to Preston together, which I'm not quite sure I would have gone to on my own, especially given that sort of time. But I think there's a few other bits and bobs away games coming up that people are already planning to go to as well. Like I say, I think we've also had a chat about sometimes if you get to your seats and the vibe's a bit off. When we went to Leicester, I don't know what happened, but we ended up in a group of people I would not normally sit with. And there was a few people that seats happened to be near the other people in the group chat. And had we not been together, I don't really know what we would have done, but I think there's also the capacity to like put in the group, I'm not quite happy where I'm sat, and then we can sort of shuffle in together, which is quite a nice thing to know that you can go, and if you're not happy, there's someone else there. Yeah, like I said, not thought about this stuff before because I was with a big guy.
That's it. No, and you raise a really good point. Like, I think my experience was always quite similar. Like, even right from being a kid, I'd always go with my dad, sat with my dad's friends. And if anything was ever going on, it was going over my head. It never would have occurred to me to kind of feel out of place. My dad was the kind of person that, you know, he wouldn't have even... And probably doesn't even now consider it like a thing. Like, he was taking his daughter to the match. He was just taking his kid to the match, you know. So there was never any of this kind of... And I think... It really was like kind of with the rise in like social media stuff and like the more people would start to say things as you got older and like you'd suddenly be like, oh, it is something that people notice that you're a woman, you're a woman going to the football. That's like a, you know, that's something to comment on. And I think Emma touched on it earlier, but that particular horrible incidents of being shouted at from that tram, as much as at the time we were like, you know, we were grown, we were adult enough to take the action of it and kind of, you know, it sparked off obviously this fantastic group and all the work that's been done from that. But, you know, it's awful that it happened. But it was the first time I ever was like, God, I'm so glad I'm not stood on my own right now. Like, it's one thing to have been like, oh yeah, you know, shove it, whatever, that's absolutely fine, shout what you want, you idiots. But actually, if I'd have been on my own, I would have been scared. And it really could have affected me ever wanting to go to a match without my dad again at 30 years of age. And it's that kind of thing. Like it shouldn't feel like that. And I think it's only really like other female supporters that can really get that feeling that it doesn't take much to kind of knock your confidence off. And I also think it's important as well to say that it's not this concept that women can't hack it at the match. It's not the idea that, you know, I've sat near Holly, she's like me, she gives an earful, she's not bothered. It's not about that we all want to sit there and be ever so quiet and calm. And, it's about the specifics of what is said and the way that people are treated. Nothing about the football culture needs to change in relation to the actual game itself and the way we can all enjoy a game. It's about, if you're making other people feel othered and scared, then we're not all actually enjoying the same hobby together. Lots to think about. So positives with you guys, with the group, you know, it's been, how long has it been now? Have you guys had your 1 year? Must be coming up to that. Not quite.
Was when we started, so
not even a year yet, and you guys have, you know, we see the fantastic stuff that you guys do, and the things that you've been highlighting. What are some of the things you're proudest of that the group's achieved so far? Emma, I'll come to you first.
Honestly, just the community that we've been able to build. I think when me and Lauren launched it, I think we even said to each other, if we get 20 members and we have a group chat that's active with 10 people in it, we'll feel like we've really made it, like a group that can go to games together. Because honestly, selfishly for me, it was a bit like, I want more friends to go to games with. I didn't grow up with a Wednesday family at all. I didn't grow up with a football family, which I think has given me that perspective as like a kind of almost, not an outsider. I've supported Wednesday since I was 7, but like, you know, I've not had that kind of support with me. So I think I've always been quite aware of feeling different. There's 100 people in that group chat. We've got 300 members. It feels like we're all quite close, and we've got quite close quite quickly as well. And it's just on it. Oh, I love it. I'm so proud of it. The first day we managed to pair two people up to go to the game together, I was like, you know what? If that's the one thing we achieve, then I'm happy. I'm done. Like, if I've made one person feel a bit safer at a game, it's been great. And that really is, something I'm very proud of.
No, you should be. I mean, it is amazing. And like, football's all about those moments, isn't it? It's literally about those, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda, if someone may not have actually been able to go to a match without that. Like, that's an unbelievable experience that you guys have been able to foster. So, yeah, fantastic. Beth, what about you?
I completely echo what Emma said about the community and just being able to make so many good Wednesday pals, regardless of, like, plenty in Sheffield, found people in Manchester who also support Wednesday, which is crazy. I thought it was the only one sometimes. But aside from all the community, which is incredible, I think the charity aspect as well has been amazing. I managed to raise over £30,000 last year for Mums in Need and the Bradley Lowry Foundation. So to not only have this community for us, but see it pay off for other people as well, and kind of extend that kind of love that the group has and the empathy is really, really incredible.
Yeah, that's so important. And I think, you know, it's like you guys say in a lot of the stuff you put out, it's not just that you're tackling kind of like gender-based discrimination. Like, it leeches kind of into all different kind of forms of discrimination within football that we're trying to combat. So absolutely brilliant. So how have you guys kind of but started half of one question, got the other. Another beep for someone to edit there. Lovely little beep. So what do you think clubs can be doing more of? So we've talked a bit about how you guys have approached Wednesday, and like, it sounds like there's some really fantastic key figures sort of within the Sheffield Wednesday family that are helping you guys do more and more. But what can clubs be doing more of? So we've heard about the fantastic guys at Sheffield Wednesday that you know you've linked up with, that sounds like, you know, you've got a really good partnership there with the club. But what should clubs be doing in general more to kind of combat this kind of discrimination within their communities?
So in the survey that we've just launched, one of the kind of more overwhelming results that we've had in so far is that people are really keen for clubs to do more to tackle online abuse. I think I went into it thinking that people think of the online space as like a very separate, you know, it's not the club's responsibility. It's a separate thing. It's down to the social media companies. But actually, there's a real appetite for clubs to crack down on stuff like that, especially in their own kind of comment sections, their own pages. dedicated Facebook groups, things like that. There is real, you know, backing for clubs to be harsher there. The other day we were on the Leicester website for some reason, I can't remember why, just looking at their policies, and they have an explicit, you know, these are things we do not tolerate online. If you're caught doing these things online, then, you know, there'll be XYZ repercussions. And I thought that was really impressive. Obviously, it's not always possible. There'll always be anonymous accounts, and, you know, that will be a problem as long as we allow it to be. But, you know, it's not completely, you know, avoidable, I don't think. I think clubs really can do more online. And then in terms of in person, this has kind of been an ongoing thing, is advertising how to report stuff when you do see it. That's something we've tried hard to publicise from day one, really. The number at Hillsborough and then the numbers at different away grounds as well. Especially away, I don't think people feel very confident in reporting stuff like that because every club has a different system. And I think some kind of either better advertising or one system that everyone can use, and then everyone knows, no matter where you are, no matter what ground, what league, there's a way to kind of address those things and hopefully give people some confidence that the reports will be taken seriously as well.
If you follow the Women's Supporters Group on X, they do share it every time, so you can find it if you're at an away game. Just look on there. One of the things I think that they could do, you mentioned it earlier, Emma, I think it might have been Beth, about facilities. I'm not sure how they would improve facilities, given that everyone has a really old stinking ground. But I went to, it's slightly different, but I went to a women's England game, the Lionesses, and obviously there's quite a larger proportion of women there, but the toilets are not set up for there being more women than they used to be like a billion years ago. So the queues for the toilets is just absolutely ridiculous at all times. I think years ago I went to, might have been Layer Road at Colchester, and I asked the steward where the women's toilets were, and he just went and laughed. And I was like, I really do need the toilet. And he went, there's a port-a-loo there, and there was one port-a-loo for the whole stand that blokes had been using all day. Oh. I was like, I'll just get a water infection, thanks. I'll get the cranberry juice now.
I think another thing from the report that's been really interesting as well is that people want to see the clubs themselves speak out and take big stands. And I think regardless if you're a Wednesday fan, I don't know if you have any people who listen to this podcast who aren't Wednesday fans, but
we get a lot of Coventry fans pop up. We love our Coventry supporters. Oh, if you support, that holds this podcast together.
If you support Wednesday, if you support Coventry, if you support anyone else, I think putting that pressure on the club to make a stand as well, I think is really powerful if you're in a position to do so. And I've kind of got it in my head that these trolls, if whether it's online or if it's the troublemakers in person, it's like, it's almost an appeasal thing. If the thing you're here to celebrate, if the thing that you're bigging up is telling you not to do that, hopefully they'll listen. I think that's really powerful.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think it needs to not just come from the club, but like from the players, from everyone. It needs to be this really united front. Like when there was the awful incident against the Coventry game, and everyone was kind of up in arms, you know, the majority of people were up in arms on X and other social medias, you know, condemning this fan. He's a minority. It's a horrible thing. He doesn't stand for what Sheffield Wednesday stands for. And you go, that is true. And it's what I like to believe, but it doesn't change the fact that this has happened. That person felt comfortable doing that in a public space, you know, not hidden behind a keyboard, literally out in the public where everyone could see him. And I think what was very powerful was that the video that was then put out by the club with the players themselves, like acknowledging it, because I think if you think of it from things like sexism as well, like, you know, people talk about football being a boys' club, and you go, right, okay, so you've got, you know, you've got male players, you've got male fans, all of whom have kind of gone through the same system, a system that supports them and makes them feel very comfortable within that environment. And they can and often do care about these things, but they don't have to. You know, that players don't have to care about gender discrimination necessarily. It's not going to change the way they play. It's not necessarily going to change the way that their club supports them. If it was 30,000 sexists watching them play, they'd still get paid, you know. But there's something about the fact that players themselves actually standing up and being like, that is not okay, that I think changes the way that these fans feel like emboldened to say what they want to say, because they're not just letting themselves down. They are actually letting their club down, and it's not what the club stands for. So perhaps more in the future, where the players themselves really kind of stand up and are not ashamed to kind of put their face to the message, I think would be huge. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, definitely. And I think when we first started, it was a few weeks before the club kind of helped us by sharing our post and, you know, showing people how to sign up. And we noticed such a big drop off in the number of people who were giving us crap, basically. Obviously, we still get a little bit. But after the club made that kind of, you know, obvious stance that, you know, we back this. You know, this is important. It really did drop off. And like, as we get more and more, kind of, we've got a few ambassadors. So we've got David Stockdale, and we've recently got Chloe Bannon on board as well. And I think those things are huge, and you can't underestimate how important getting someone of influence to kind of back you, even if it's just like, you know, lip service. It's so important. And I don't think I appreciated how important that was until we saw the kind of decline of
online. You're absolutely right. Sorry, go on, Hal.
I think the problem is two things. Like I myself said earlier on this, like I didn't realise travelling by train to a match were a problem until I were on my own and it were a problem. So I guess guys going to the games don't really realise the effect. Like you guys were saying, the people shouting at you from the tram, they're probably just, it were just all noise to them because they didn't feel it like you felt it. So I guess it's getting out the understanding of what that actually is like so people can understand it. But also I think, with anything like this, not just women in football or sexism or whatever, when there's a big sort of, I don't know how to word it, but when there's like a big push towards equality in whatever way and loads of people start going to the games that haven't been before and everyone starts to accept it, it comes with a push of people trying to reclaim their match day. And you're going to get, I know we've tried really hard not to swear, but you're going to get loads of knobheads who want to be like, you shouldn't be here. I want it back to how it was before. And I think you have to just accept that that's going to happen before it sort of comes back to what we really want it to be. I think we will all, the more women that go, the more you get the knobheads sort of trying to up it. And like you've said on Twitter, you get, the more good stuff that you put out, you'll get more comments from those people, won't you? I think that just always happens. There's always a bit of a pushback.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on that, because I think it comes with a level of sort of, if you're not seeing that pushback, it almost doesn't illustrate your point, which is an awful thing in a way. You don't want it to be like, see, but to a certain extent, it's like, there's always those people who perhaps themselves are not, they're not the ones going to matches and shouting abuse or shouting really specific, you know, sexist abuse at someone like Rebecca Welch, for example. It's like, by all means, slag her off when she's made another howler, but, you know, she's not responsible for her gender, just her whistle. You know, like, we don't need to kind of make this a sexism thing, guys. They might not be those guys, but they might be the ones who say things like, why do we need this? Why do we need this group? Like, it's just a few knobheads. Like, why do we need to change the color of this and put this flag up and do this? And you go, well, for that exact reason, you only have to look at what is admittedly a smaller and smaller percentage. Like I've seen you guys right from when you first kicked off, like so many of those early messages seem to just be flooded with negativity. And nowadays, like you guys have just gone from strength to strength. And most people that are commenting are just like, you know, go on ladies, this is brilliant. But for every one of those knobheads that post, we're going on with the knobheads again. Oh. It really is able to kind of, you feel like just being able to kind of highlight and go, this is why. Why are you doing this? Because Terence from Barnsley said this, or Jimmy the Idiot's on again saying this. Bloody Terence. it's rubbish in a way, but it really does kind of, it proves its own point sometimes, doesn't it? Like it proves its own point. And I think what I've noticed as well, kind of like I'm fairly active on social media and stuff, and I always used to feel a certain kind of way about posting, in a way where if like it suddenly got traction because I'd said something wrong, that I was going to get dragged. And I think I have a weird anxiety of getting dragged on Twitter, specifically about football stuff. But I think now, like, I would anticipate that, like, if there'd be enough people, enough good people around, like, me and, like, the people I interact with that would challenge that and call that out. It doesn't make it right, but it does make you feel more confident about just being able to be yourself and kind of interact with the football community, knowing that there are people that are always, you know, they've got your back.
Do you think that you get more negativity, Emma and Beth, because on X your username is your actual name? Because mine's just When It's Wednesday, so it's not a woman's name. I'll give you an example. So ages ago, I used to write for Owls Alive, and I originally started putting it as my name, and then I changed it to a just a random name. And all the comments, I used to get loads more comments when it wasn't a woman's name, and they all used to be like, "Nice one, pal." Well, they obviously thought I was a guy, but when it was a woman's name, I got less views and more negative comments. And now my picture is just like me and my dad, so it's not specifically me, and it's just a random name. So I don't know if you get more gripe for that reason.
I've never even thought about pretending, but like being less feminine online. Like, I've used an abbreviation of my name on Twitter with the full intention of trying to like reduce, I don't know, I guess make it feel less personal. I use M on Twitter. Like, people don't call me that often, but now all my football friends do because it's my Twitter name. And that was just because I knew, like, I wanted as little kind of personally directed, hatred as possible. Like, it really is a bit of a defence thing. I don't know. It's weird.
To be fair, in hindsight now, I think I wish I'd just put it as my name and just ridden it out, because then people would be like, oh, actually, on the odd occasion, she does talk sense and she's a woman, rather than just be like, this is a guy. But yeah, I don't know it definitely affected it then. I don't know if I'd see any difference now.
Might have to do a little study.
Yeah.
I was about to say, like, there's probably something in that. I know in, like, this is kind of like a much bigger kind of example, but I know they did a study quite a while back where people applied for jobs with CVs and they had like traditional kind of like anglicized names versus like names that might be like non-English names, and found that, unfortunately, you know, the more anglicized names tended to be favored. And there's probably a lot to kind of be said about that, even on like a lower level. Like, for example, because Charlie's my name and Charlie's a boy's name, as it were, or can be a boy's name, there have been times where people have like commented and retweeted me going, he has a point, and I've been like, yeah, I guess I'll take it, not wanting to correct them in case they go, oh, in which case she's wrong or whatever. Yeah. But I think you notice it even just with little things. Like, there's an aspect where, say for example, a lad posted a picture of himself in a football shirt online. People might like it, they might interact with it. You notice female fans post pictures in football shirts. Some of the reactions are, let's be honest, unhinged. And they're unhinged in a way where it's like, people might actually think they're being nice or being positive, you know, being really love heart eyesy and quite fetishy, is that a word? Fetishizing. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of almost the other side of being a female fan on football. It doesn't happen to me because I always look like haggard and tired and usually crying because of Sheffield Wednesday. But for those who are able to maintain a general air of acceptability online, that's almost like that kind of negative positivity where it's like, oh wow, you're a girl who's into football, that's so rare and interesting, even though you're like, actually there's a million of us, mate, and we're not here to kind of service your weird sort of fantasies about a cool girl who likes sports. Wow, that's so novel. And I think even then you see, like, I still feel uncomfortable even just seeing people over interacting with a female fan. So but then why the hell shouldn't we get to have our own names, our own faces? Yeah. Why shouldn't we get to just literally, you know, like, lads just don't have to think about these things. They don't have to think how their words are going to be perceived in the same way. And that they're, you know, that they've kind of got the entire male fan base to represent like we do. It's a totally different thing.
No, I was just going to say, it's a shame Lauren's not here, who we run the group with, because the messages she gets are absolutely unhinged.
I did have Lauren in my head when I was thinking of beautiful, full of unhinged comments in her Twitter. Like, she just ticks all the boxes.
Because female fan. She does as well, it's like banter people the same way boys on Twitter banter people. No difference.
No difference
other than the fact she's a very attractive woman.
And they all go, you give it, can't take it, that kind of thing. Like,
unbelievable. Yeah, they simultaneously, the things that I see on Lauren's ex are, they range from like the deranged anger that she's, you know, that she's allowed to exist in this world, to like, they may be outside her house right now with a shovel. Like, it's just, and the thing is that a lot of them as well, they're posting under their real names. It's not even, a lot of the time it's like, and you think, these are the people that we're sharing a Hillsborough with. They have to be.
Come and get your dad. Like,
literally, come and get your dad out of it. You know, even right down to things like, you know, when she's talked about her pregnancy, and there've been like people in her comments, mate, and you're just like, and it's that, it's like, we can't win. Either they either hate us or they like us a little bit too much. It's like, pick a lane.
Two categories. You have to be like a really ugly woman that knows lots about football, or you have to be really fit and just go, the players are in shorts. Those are the only categories that are allowed, apparently.
That's my least favorite one, actually, is the idea that that we're in it for like the sexy footballers as well. Because it's like, why would you, what, right? I have Google is free, as is an infinite number of images of men. Why would I put myself through the misery of being a Sheffield Wednesday fan just to see, and I'm short-sighted as well, so just to see some blurry men running around on a pitch and be like, yeah, that's what I'm here for. That's specifically what I'm into this for. It's a lot of money and a lot of heartache when I could just Google nice men.
Well, you wouldn't get to see the middle part of the leg, would you, between the shorts and the socks?
True. A woman's favourite thing, the middle part of the leg.
That's why I sit there where I sit.
So, speaking of our wonderful Sheffield Wednesday, obviously, depending on when this goes out, you know, we may know a little bit more, a little bit less about kind of where we're at in the whole relegation fight for survival. How are you guys feeling about kind of how things have gone so far, where things may end up? Emma, I'll come to you first. Thoughts?
Trying not to let myself hope. That's where I'm at. Just for your preservation, more than anything. After Huddersfield, I was like, that's it. Like, I refuse to give myself an ounce of anything. Like, that's it, we're down. You know, let's save my mental health here. But obviously with recent results, it's hard, and I'm getting slightly optimistic. I think I'll wait for the next, don't know when this is coming out. But I think as things stand, the next few games are pivotal. So maybe I'll wait till then to make my next judgment.
Absolutely. I think it's very much the hope that kills you, that wonderful football cliche. But in Sheffield Wednesday, that has never, ever been truer than it has been this season. Beth, what about you? Feeling good, feeling bad, feeling somewhere in between?
I don't feel too bad, you know.
Ooh, I like it. Positivity.
Yeah, more, I don't know. Maybe it's that kind of, I feel like at the end of last season, we just had this inevitability about us. Like, even on the train to Peterborough at home, I was like, we could do something today. And I feel like I'm getting that feeling again. But, asterisk, and I know we said we were going to talk about the last game, I'm purely basing my mood every week on the last game. So, depending on when this comes out, I could be eating my words. I just get these sneaky feelings with football. I've got this sneaky feeling we might stay up.
I'm also changing my mind on a weekly basis, and there's no middle ground. Like, nope. You just mentioned, I would devastate. I was like, that's it. Like, eating ice cream all night in my pajama, like in a big t-shirt, just like, that's it, it's over. And then like 2 days later, I'm like, come on, this is it. So I am one or the other. There's no middle. There's no like, could we? It's either we definitely are or that's it.
Absolutely.
Totally. I'm entirely with you with that and that, Beth. Like, I keep thinking with the, you know, with the second leg, there was no way.
There was no way it could happen.
You thought that, see, like, you were psychic. I was like, there's no way. And yet when it then happened, I remember having this feeling of like, oh, so the no ways can happen. And I've not been able to kind of shake that. The way I felt after that game, even to the point where I was saying things like, I didn't even care what happened at Wembley. Like, obviously I wanted to swim, but like, no one was ever taking that turnaround away. Like, it was quite literally impossible in the most Hollywood way ever. And, you know, this time we have a lot longer than 90 minutes to pull back, you know, yes, we've had this historically dreadful start to the season, and has anyone ever turned anything around this bad, and da-da-da-da. And you go, yeah, but if you can come back from 4-0 down in a playoff semis, that's Wednesday, baby. And I think I'd resigned myself, maybe November, to the fact that we were down. Like, we're definitely down. So if we don't go down, it'll be a nice surprise, but I'm already emotionally there. The problem I've got is the more hope I get, the more I've not resigned myself. Like, it's too, I want it to be a novelty. Like, sure, maybe we'll stay up, I'll enjoy the ride. When in actual fact, I'm like, no, every win we're getting, it, like, every result that goes our way, more and more it's like creeping in, and I'm thinking, yeah, and that's what's going to hurt so much more if it doesn't go our way.
It's a bit like an elongated version of that Palace game. So that season that we went down when we played Palace on the last day, we were rubbish. I'd resigned myself, that's it, we're going down. But then because it came to that last day and that game was so good, I couldn't even sit down, and the steward was going, you need to sit down. I'm like, I can't bend my legs. I can't sit down. I can't move. I'm just stood like this. Please help me. But I just, like, that. This is like an elongated of that version of that game. Like, so it's building. Look, now you're getting me excited again, chat.
This is it. Honestly, it's the emotion. I was in Manchester this weekend, so I wasn't able to watch the match, but I was in a hotel room with my pal, and at one point I was like, I'll put the stream on just to catch the last 10 minutes, and I couldn't do it. So instead, I put my phone on like the little desk in the Premier Inn and just watched it, waiting for the notification that like the 90 minutes was up. And he was just looking at me, and I was like, shh, it's all right. And he was just like the whole time until I eventually like started cheering and put like daddy cool on. And he was just like, why do you do this to yourself? Why, like why, what's the worst thing that happens? Oh, you get relegated, da da da. And you're just like, I can't explain this to you. If you don't get it, I can't explain why I allow these men to ruin my life. I can't explain it. And I won't explain it. But yeah, it would almost be easier if we were already down in many ways, wouldn't it? This Absolutely. Is the other thing is when we were shit, you go, yeah, that's how it was.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later.
What are we thinking in terms of management-wise? You know, if we do stay up, do you think we'll keep Rule? Do you think we'll keep Powell? If we go down, do you think we'll keep him? Like, what do you think he's thinking? Like, is he in this for the long haul, or is he just coming to flex his managerial muscles and then go off to bigger and better things? Emma, what do you reckon?
I would be surprised if he stayed if we went down. But similarly, I'd be surprised if he left and we stayed up. I think if we do stay up and he stays, I'll be nervous the whole season, probably until he inevitably gets pinched. But yeah, that's kind of how I'm, you know, reassuring myself and trying to prepare myself for the worst if it happens. I think he's done enough for other championship clubs to be interested, for sure. I mean, our form with him is sort of mid-table, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if there weren't people kind of sniffing around already, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, Beth, he really does seem to love the Wednesday, doesn't he? I mean, people have said he seems to really get the club and the passion he seems to show. Like, again, why would he put himself through this misery if he didn't think maybe he could get something from it? What do you reckon? Is he in it to win it, or will he be out quicker? Like a little puff of smoke the second we get relegated, it'll just be a Danny Rule shaped.
I'm not sure if this is just something I've been telling myself or if this is something I've told myself so many times that I believe it. I don't know if his stock's that high to be poached so soon.
Oh yeah.
I love him. Hands down, I think Danny's amazing. He really has lit up Wednesday since he's come in, and obviously done an incredible job with what we thought was like a little middle aisle bunch of players and everyone being totally Mardy. Like, he's done amazing. I do absolutely love Danny, but if you think about it, he's had not a full season. He has done incredible, but he is straight up unproven, really. If you look at it pessimistically on paper, yes, he's got us loads of points, but we've only really gone up one or two league positions. It kind of changes week to week. And I don't know if this, I don't know if this is something I've told myself to kind of make myself feel better about the prospect that he could very well leave, because he is obviously very talented and very personable and very popular and plays really good football. But I don't know if we need to worry that much. I hope I'm right. I really hope I'm right.
I hope you're right. I think you've got a real point.
Yeah, in summary, if you're another club's chairman, you don't want him. He's rubbish. So.
You don't want him. He's rubbish. Yeah. His legs are too thin.
Do you know what? I'll be equally as upset about the loss of the song.
Yes. Yeah. We finally got a song that everyone can like unanimously agree is a banger as well. Like, you know, like there's always people been like, oh, I hate such and such a chant, but everyone's just like, nah, Boney M, banger. Get
I'm
that
just
on.
So, like, I'm so glad Hillsborough's learnt the second verse, because oh my god. When it's on for 3 minutes at full time, you're just singing Danny Roll for the whole thing. You feel like you're going crazy.
And it's never quite on the rhythm. Like, honestly, my favourite thing ever is, like, obviously the clapping at Hillsborough for Hi-Ho Sutherland is always magnificently just to its seven different beats. But the Danny Rule just being, some people are doing it in, like, double time. Some people have barely finished their Danny before the rules come in. I love it. We're not a choir. We're just a bunch of passionate people just loving our club, but damn it, we cannot sing in time. Holly, I think Beth makes a really good point about, you know, has he done enough to get poached? Will it be if he keeps us up? You know, he's shown that he's this magic man that could come and take a failing team and keep us up. But if we go down, is it a testament to his skill or lack of skill? Or is, you know, does he still pose a really big asset to a hungry club looking for a new manager? What do you reckon?
I don't know. I think it's really popular at the moment to get a young manager in, isn't it? Like, how many of the recently poached managers have been quite young? It's a bit like, even like Schumacher or whoever, a few of them have shuffled about, haven't they? And they've not really been there that long before moving. He hasn't been with us very long. Although is he like the 12th longest serving championship manager now?
Something like that.
Gotta be something like that.
Maybe 13th, but I think Watford are on about sacking Ishmael, so don't come for Danny, please.
Yeah. Yeah, go on, sorry. No, as I said, I think we've you know, I mean, the championship is always nuts, but I think we've seen a lot of manager exits, some shock, some less shock. And I think if you're lucky enough that you want to keep your manager, are we potentially in a more favourable position that we're more worried about someone coming along and taking him rather than, you know, begging every day to see that corner flag announcement like a lot of clubs are. Yeah.
I think if someone comes in for him, we're not gonna keep him, are we? For two reasons. I don't think Chancery is gonna convince anyone to stay, but also, like, why would they? Like, imagine when he speaks to a proper chairman somewhere else and goes, oh, what was that about? Like, he's probably gonna go, yeah, this is probably gonna be better. So I think if someone asks, he probably will go, but maybe best right, it's a little bit early. Maybe if we start next season, okay, then.
Yeah,
you can almost see him treating this as like a real learning curve, and like, as he should as well. I think it was really obvious in the transfer window, like, with how miserable he looked sometimes. Yeah. And I think he even said himself, like, he's learned so much through that.
Yeah.
And he also recognises that what did he say? I think Dom Housen tweeted it today, that we have like a bare bones infrastructure or whatever. I think he's starting to realise this is how it is in a club fighting relegation. He's learned a lot from that. And I think I can see him like thinking about how he'd build on that at a club with maybe a bit more cash behind it or whatever it might be.
Totally. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, a lot of people have said the same, like online, like imagine what he could do with backing. And he's clearly a manager that, like, he's got something that, like, you can't buy, and that's that inspiration. Like what he's done with some of the same players that were, you know, couldn't find their own shoelaces, let alone across into the box at like the beginning of the season, now we're, you know, really turning things around. And while we didn't, you know, swell our coffers massively in the transfer window, you've got to admit that at least three out of the four transfers we brought in, well, particularly with Ugbo and Pavida, you know, I mean, they are absolutely sensational. I mean, I'm just gutted that, you know, Pavida can't play against Leeds, but there's a lot to be said for being able to make like a silk purse out of a sow's ear, and I think if anyone can do that, it's him. But then, yeah, like you say, if someone comes along and goes, how would you like to do what you're doing now, but with a wadge of cash and a hell of a lot more control, maybe that would charm him. So fingers crossed that the bright lights of somewhere else do not tempt him away. So we are sort of starting to kind of come to the end. We've done a lot of serious chat and lots of talked about a lot of big things. So it'd be really great just to kind of find out a bit about you guys and like your Wednesday journeys and being fans of the club. Emma, you mentioned earlier that you didn't sort of come from a Wednesdaying family. So how did you get here? What happened? How did you get here?
What went wrong?
What made you do this to yourself?
I struggle to remember the actual order of things happening, but I think when I was sort of like 7 or 8 at school, I just loved having a kickabout with the boys in the playground. And I realised at some point, like, I used to be a bit obsessed with Man U because I just fancied David Beckham. My granddad's Man U. But I knew, I just had this sense that I needed a local team. Like, it wasn't cool to support I knew that from an early age. Like, it's not okay to be this like Glory fan.
Good choice then. And you went so far the other way.
Literally that, because
anti-Glory Hunter.
It was a season we'd been, we came down from the Prem and then we got relegated again. So it must have been like, what's that, 2002, 2003? Like that kind of season. Two, three. And I felt sorry for them because they were lower than Sheffield United. And I was like, do you know what? They need my support more.
Do you know what? That's so honest.
So I went to high school. When I went to high school, it was the year we got relegated, which was just absolutely grand, telling people that I supported Wednesday. I was the only Wednesday fan in my whole high school. Everybody supported Leeds. Leeds were good in the early 2000s as well, which were just absolutely excellent. But just reminded me when I was talking about football, people used to say, she's obsessed. She just talks about football. But then they would then continue their conversation about football. But because they were guys, they were like, okay to do that. You've got to be obsessed if you support a team like us, unfortunately. You can't just half-ass it, can you?
True. What about you, Beth? How did you find yourself in this wonderful, glorious position?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of same but different to Emma. Like, I'm from Hillsborough. I grew up in Essex, went to school in Essex. I always knew I was a Wednesday fan. I always knew my dad was a Wednesday fan. His granddad was a Wednesday fan. But my dad kind of fell out with Wednesday around probably 02, 03, when I guess my dad kind of went in the 90s and the 80s with his dad when we were it.
Yeah.
And as I was kind of growing up, I didn't have it kind of shoved in my face. I didn't really kind of get into football actively as an adult until lockdown and the following summer when football was one of the only things to watch. And you then kind of got released back into the world with the European Championships and the England in the final and that kind of thing. And it was kind of from there that I started going to matches again and engaging, especially with Wednesday and football in general. So I kind of always knew I had it in me. I knew who I supported. I knew I had to support them, but it was just never really at the forefront of my life until a few years ago. And now here it is.
I love it. I love it. I think it's wonderful to hear people's stories, because it's like, for every person who, like me, quite boring, like my dad supported Wednesday, I was raised to support Wednesday, would have been made to live outside if I'd ever, you know, I was allowed to not support football, but ultimately still would have technically had to be, you know, it's like my husband is technically a Wednesdayite because we're married, and when you get married, you become a Wednesdayite. If you marry a Wednesday, that's how it happens. But for like everyone that has kind of a very boring, natural progression story like me, you get someone who's like, I wanted to support a football team who are getting kicked around, and I found Sheffield Wednesday, which is great. Like, you know, it's I think there's a lot to be said for, I quite like the idea of being an anti-glory seeker. Like, I think there's something quite endearing about that. I always wonder what, like, you know, I've got colleagues who like, oh, he's a Liverpool fan, for example, and I'm like, do you ever lived in Liverpool? No. Anyone in your family support Liverpool? No. I just wanted a football team that played well. And you go, okay, yeah, fair enough, but surely that gets dull, doesn't that get dull? Don't you find that you're never in tears? You're just enjoying yourself all the time and seeing your team going from strength to strength. So I think there's something uniquely kind of beautiful about people coming together, knowing that you're not going to get 100% enjoyment from something. In fact, if anything, it's probably like a, I don't know, 90-10% split of good times and bad times. But for every second leg of the playoffs, you know, it's worth it. For every moment that you get that, you go, oh yeah, this is why I've endured 30 odd years of misery for this one 90 minutes. So yeah, that's brilliant. Holly brought this up just before we went on, and I thought it was fantastic, asking you guys, what's your favourite ever Sheffield Wednesday kit? I love this question. I'll let you guys have a moment to think.
While you're thinking, there was a little chat in the a little conversation in the chat about that shirt you're wearing, Charlie, the pink one. Nobody got a pink one. How have
I'm
you got?
I'm so
the pink
jealous.
One? I'm so jealous looking at it.
Can I tell you how I got this? And if he ends up listening to this, I hope I'm not embarrassing him, so I'll not name him by name. One of my Twitter mutuals, a lovely lad who I've been following for a while and has been following me, and I don't know him from Adam. Like, I've absolutely, his name's not Adam, but I don't know him from Adam. I have no idea who he is. He was like, he'd ordered this, and it's supposed to be like an XL or an L, and it, like, it isn't by any stretch. It must be whoever makes Primark's clothes is doing the same price, you know, like they're just like L, spin the wheel, it'll be what it is. And he was like, I'm selling it kind of for like 20 quid or whatever, and I was like, I want that shirt. And he must have been like, you know, it's like a man's lot. And I was like, I like him big, I like him roomy, and this is a bargain. Like, you're talking 20 quid. Like, are you insane? Like, that's like, it's like triple that in the shop. And so I met him sketchily outside at Hillsborough, paid him £1 coins, which for some reason was the currency I had at the time, and bagged myself one of these snazzy pink shirts. So
I feel
yeah,
like the club must have made about 20 of those shirts, yeah, and they were immediately yeah, sold out. You can't find them anywhere. I looked before I came on, actually, and there's a long sleeved one that's like a double XL, and it's £100. Like,
brilliant. And I'm sitting in a gold mine here. I'm sitting in a gold mine. Yeah. So what you need to do is just always look out for your followers selling random shirts. Meet strangers off the internet.
Yeah.
In the street, in the dark, with lots of spare change on you, and you'll have a great time. It's definitely not dangerous at all. You should definitely do that. Emma, your favourite Sheffield Wednesday kit of all time, ever?
It's hard not to go with the pink one, because I remember watching the kit release video and I squealed. Like, the noise I made when I saw it was pink, oh my god, it's beautiful. Like, it was perfect. I also got one, I'm sorry guys. I put it in quite a small size, and I'm just like dreading the day when I inevitably grow out of it. But not because I'm still growing.
Emma is 12, everybody. She's just very advanced for a year.
I've got a soft spot as well for Chupa Chups, because that's like the first shirt that I remember ever. That's the one that I'm like, you know, that's Wednesday. It's iconic. Yeah. It's beautiful. I've not got it. I'm actively looking. But yeah, maybe Chupa Chups.
Love that. Oh, love that. The Chupa Chup yellow, like the yellow of that Chupa Chup, yeah, is like Sheffield Wednesday yellow in my head. I can't explain and I won't explain, but that is Sheffield Wednesday yellow in my head. Beth, what about you? Favourite ever shirt?
There's so many nice ones. I think the one that I wear the most is the dreaded 0203 navy blue Deodora. It's just so wearable. It's very comfy.
I've got a woozy one back of that.
I think these ones behind me, they're too nice.
I was about to
say. The blue one is my lucky shirt. So I wore that at Wembley and at the playoff semi.
So I wore a Saunderson
special occasion. So either this exact shirt right here or generally the navy blue Deodora.
The problem with the Saunderson ones is that whatever material they used to make them out of in the 90s, it's like you could wear that up a mountain because it's that thick. And there were so many people wearing them at Wembley. It was the hottest day. Everybody's just sweating. Like, when will this game end? I'm melting. It was like, you cannot wear that in the summer. It's just for winter.
That's so true. They really did used to make shirts to last more than a couple of washes, didn't they? Holly, you are, as always, our fantastic shirt collector wearer. But if you had to pick one, what's your fave?
I like the Saunderson, not the one that Beth's got in the background, the one after that, the one that I normally wear, which I don't have on today, obviously, for the first time ever. I've peeled it off my body. But away kit-wise, I wanted the pink one. I like the green one that we had in the late 90s as well.
Oh, yes.
But I only realised recently when we had the green, like, pixel camouflage thing a couple of years ago that my dad's colorblind and he had no idea what was going on. He couldn't see. When we played Middlesbrough and we played at Borough a couple of years ago and it was 4-1 or something, every time we scored, he were like, what's happening? I had to just like describe what was happening to him because he couldn't see the color. So I never thought of that. But yeah, the green away kit, I like that one. Yeah, the Chupa Chups. I like a good sponsor, which is ironic now with our sponsors, but I really like a good sponsor. And also the Saunderson and the Chupa Chups were like feely sponsors, weren't they?
Yes, like embossed. I don't know if that's the right word, but like they, yeah.
My boyfriend works for Classic Football Shirts, so I get a lot of football shirt knowledge via osmosis. The fuzzy lettering is called Flock.
Flock.
Bring it back. We want some flock
everything. Yeah. I want proper collars, not this. I don't know really what this is. It's my least favorite bit of this shirt. It's like just a folded over pretend collar. Yeah. I want proper. I used to love it when shirts were shirts back in the good old days. It was a shirt you could wear up a mountain. You could wear to work. It was a proper like a polo-esque collar. I have to say that the shirts behind you, Beth, are my absolute faves. I love
the Saunderson as well.
Yeah,
because I think they're both largest. They are both acquired via Classic Football Shirts boyfriend. Who? Funny story about that green kit. He was in the shop on Deansgate in Manchester, and a guy comes in with the green, old 90s Wednesday away kit. He goes, "You're right, mate. What's this worth?" It's like 300, 400 quid. He's found it for 99p in a charity shop in Glossop.
That's like Antiques Roadshow, which I would watch.
He weren't coming in to sell it to the shop, which you can do. He just wanted to know how much it were, and he found an absolute gold mine. I want to go charity shopping in Glossop.
Charlie's going to find him on Twitter now.
I'll be like, do you want to meet me outside Hillsborough and I'll buy that off you for several hundreds of pounds in pound coins. Love it. That is literally the dream. What fool gave that to a charity shop? What fool gave that? Somebody's clearing out the, never wears this anymore. He always just has it hanging on his wall. Never wears it. As soon as they've gone to uni, chuck that in the bargain bin. Oh, brilliant. Well, let's hope that maybe our next kit is an iconic one. Our white kit, I feel, is destined to become that kit that everyone goes, oh yeah, I remember when we had that whitey grey off colour, because we never wear it, we literally. And do you know what? It's going to look so bad with that new sponsor on, because it's that like mucky washed colour with the white A4, what is it, Sinatra, whatever it is. I can't even think what it's called. Sinatra, something. Tipex over. That is just going to look... It's going to look really tin pot.
It's going to be really iconic. And when it gets to classic football time and your boyfriend gets them coming in.
Yeah.
They go straight in the bin, mate.
Yeah. Bought it for 80p in a charity shop, selling it for 79. They are going to be used as dusters, I think, going forward. Oh, well, I'm afraid that that is all we have had time for on this episode. It has been an absolute pleasure having you guys on. I feel like we've talked about some really important things and some lot less important things, which is how a really good podcast should go. We've touched on all the good stuff and all the daft stuff. Is there anything that you guys want to plug, your socials, anything we should be keeping an eye out for that's coming up, just as a quick reminder for everyone?
Just follow us on Twitter, or sorry, X, at SWFCWSG, and through the whole week of, I think it, what's the first day of that week? The 4th of March. Just stay tuned. We're posting every single day, celebrating all things Women at Wednesday.
Fantastic. And for those of you who will be seeing this on YouTube, down below we have all of our socials. I'm hopefully pointing at them and not just awkwardly pointing at Holly's head where they're not displayed. And we will be retweeting all of the things that the guys are posting as well. So if you're not following them, do. And if you're not following us, do. And you will see all the great things that are happening. Holly, do we have anything we should be shouting out, given that this is coming out in a week? We should mention the eggs.
The egg drop, yeah. We have already done the first day of the egg drop, which went absolutely brilliantly. Whoop, whoop. So if you haven't already heard, I'm pretty sure you will have done because we've plugged it lots. But if you bring an Easter egg to the Plymouth or the Leeds games, we'll be outside the Megastar. I don't know why that just escaped me there. If you bring an Easter egg, it's going to go to charity. We're working with PACT and the Children's Hospital. And you get put in a raffle to win a shirt that we have just slagged off for this last hour.
Oh, yeah? I'm sure it'll look great, guys. It's pre-sponsor, though. It's pre-new sponsor, so it'll look great.
You'll definitely want it, actually, in hindsight, I've changed my mind.
It'll be worth a fortune. It'll be great. Oh, well, thank you guys so much for joining us. You find us on Twitter, on Twitch, on YouTube, on Facebook, on TikTok, all the good stuff. And hope you all have a fantastic rest of your day or evening whenever you're listening to this. Thank you so much for joining us.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Johnson puts it in the air, Aidan Flynn, wins the goal! It's the goal! It's still with Lee Gregory, he's in the box, tries to screw him, is it going to be there? Yes! Oh my word!
The Wednesday week!
It's the 90th minute, you've got all your mates round, you've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Ultimate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.